You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the main topic I wanted to talk to you about today is this issue of climate policy. ACT has sort of been at odds with the current government's policy in regards to climate change. Could you just outline some of your concerns?
Yeah, so our concerns really are that if the government truly does want to reduce emissions in New Zealand, we don't think going through the Zero Carbon Act was the right thing to do. But we also don't agree with what the Climate Commission is proposing, which is essentially that the government should be having more say on individual actions that people in our communities are taking on every day. What we do want to see, and don't get us wrong here, is we do want to see a reduction in emissions. But we think that there's already a system in place to do so, and that's through the emission trading scheme. That's already in place now. Our concern with these laws that sound great is that they're actually putting controls into people's lives and telling people what actions they should or should not take without actually doing anything to reduce overall emissions. And that's what the report essentially comes back saying. You know, you're going to restrict what sort of cars people could drive, restrict whether people could have barbecues with their mates, restrict potentially whether a restaurant could even cook with gas burners rather than electric stoves. But none of these actions actually reduce our overall emissions. They just put restrictions on people's lives.
So ACT's transport spokesperson Simon Court has criticised climate policy in regards to the transport sector. Could you elaborate on his claim that emissions trading scheme credits won't impact the amount of emissions, just where they come from?
Well, that's right. So essentially, what is happening here in regards to transport is the government's come out and said, look, in our bid to try and reduce emissions, we're going to say that you can only use these types of cars, ones that we deem are more fuel efficient. But the reality there, though, is that if you already have an older car, you know, for example, you've got a big family and you need a seven-seater, it's incredibly expensive for you to go out and buy a brand new car with that fuel efficiency equivalent that the government wants you to have. So in real terms, you're not going to go and buy the new car. You're going to hold on to an older car for longer with those, you know, giving off more emissions. So the incentive is not actually to go out and purchase new cars, which the government is trying to incentivize people to do, but the incentive is to actually hold on to older cars for longer, which actually is worse for emissions in the long run.
It seems like the main concern ACT is raising is this idea that moving to low carbon energy will impact our ability to compete with other countries' industries. Is this really a major concern?
It is a concern. Essentially, putting these costs on people to decarbonize, it creates a problem where we're trying to do it at such a rate quicker than everywhere else in the world that we're putting more cost onto a New Zealand business than a UK business or a Chinese business or a US business, as they're also trying to reduce their emissions. And what you'd see in practice with that is that a company who manufactures something in New Zealand would realise, well, you know, it's going to cost me so much more to keep my business here producing my goods than it is to shift it offshore to a country where they're also trying to reduce emissions, but not at the same rate that New Zealand is. And so what we'd end up seeing is companies going offshore to countries that don't have as high a standards, and that's actually worse for global emissions.
The issue with this, though, is that the move to green energy is more of a long-term consideration. So if we bog ourselves down with these worries of competing in the short term, won't we just be stuck in the same cycle forever?
No, I don't think we will. I mean, the thing is that society moves forward and it progresses, and you would have even seen it in you know, the last 10 years. There are companies actively going out there with a corporate social responsibility that they want to do the right thing by the environment. People are setting up new kinds of businesses with green technology every day to help reduce New Zealand's emissions. the world is already going down this path.
The alarming thing, though, is that there's continued scientific evidence that the rate that we're moving is still not fast enough, and that we will eventually reach a point of no return where the environmental damage is way more costly than the short-term costs of moving to cleaner energy.
Well, there are many ways of looking at this, and I would disagree in that you have to make a balance. You know, we do live in a global economy as well as New Zealand. And essentially, if you move at a rate that costs New Zealand businesses and families opportunity, people will move offshore and people will still continue to emit. We need to allow a society where companies don't feel like they're being put through the ringer and having all these costs laid on them when they feel like they could go overseas to do so. And I think we also just need to remember the human aspect of this, which I think the government misses, is that if you are a person on a lower form of income, a lot of these rules that the government has set will be hugely costly for you as a person. You know, your cost of meat, the cost of fruit and vegetables, that all increases under these laws. The cost of, you know, taking your kids in your car to school, knowing that you don't have the option of public transport because you do need to have that flexibility of transport. All of those costs rise for people, especially on the lower incomes. So we do need to be making sure that we're looking at this from a holistic point of view.
Well, speaking of costs for individual people, I am curious to hear your thoughts on particularly Pacific Island nations that are very low to sea level, where rising sea levels over the next decades do have a very real impact of displacing thousands upon thousands of people due to these emissions.
Well, you're right. There have been issues of sea level rise, but there's also been issues of land coming out of the ground as well. You know, these things do happen all the time. I think that was in Australia where there's land just rising. But you're right, there are humanitarian crises happening, and we do need to resolve what we will do for that. The party at the moment doesn't have a specific position on what we would do for people in the Pacific, but my main point of concern here would be, in terms of refugees, we should be looking closer to the people in our jurisdiction, you know, of our island nations, much more closely than, you know, people further afield. We do need to look after our neighbours.
I'm just generally concerned that the kind of climate policy that ACT is advocating for is deliberately vague. Are you able to give me specifics as to what you would have in place instead of the current government?
We would simply keep the ETS because we do think it actually works. But what we would also do is try and cut down on emissions by putting in place pricing for roads to make sure that, you know, everyday individual actions that people are making to do with where they're going is actually reducing congestion, because congestion is one of our biggest emitters in this country, and I see no effort from the government to try and reduce that.
Lastly, I do want to touch on this release about Māori wards. Essentially, Labour wants to repeal a law that allows ratepayers to veto the establishment of new Māori wards. Why is ACT concerned about this?
Oh, we're concerned because of democracy. I think, you know, there's kind of two ways of looking at this. We've currently got a situation in central government through parliament where anyone can put forward a referendum. That you need 200,000 signatures and you can ask for the government to put a referendum forward on an issue. And I think that's the right thing to do. If you can get that many people in society on one issue, that should be argued for. When it comes to local government, it appears that the only way you can have a poll or a referendum is on the issue of Māori wards. And I don't think that's right. But I don't think it's right because we shouldn't be limiting the scope for those types of referenda or polls. That should be that any decision that an elected council makes could be overturned by a local poll because the majority of people believe it goes against what they would like to see in their community.
Why does ACT feel that Māori wards aren't necessary, as it says in the release?
Well, we're looking at people all under the rule of law as individuals. And I think there are a certain number of areas around the country where the Māori iwi themselves have said that there is no need for a Māori ward. I think what we need to be seeing is that everybody under our laws is deemed as an equal, but also that we have more direct democracy through more referenda. People should have the ability, if the council does something that they decide goes against what they elected them in to do and to represent them for, they should be able to have a mechanism to stand up and say, I think you've made the wrong decision, and for the people to be able to overturn what the council has done.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.